we were optimistic as well with regards to the weather. And joining me this morning, Cameo McRoberts, to talk about picnics and barbecues.
It seems so appropriate.
And, you know, though, just like the eclipse, it's going to go on, and you're going to do your best to enjoy it.
So
there still may be some sunny days left, and if not, if anyone has suggestions as well of how to have a nice picnic and barbecue in the rain.
I just was on vacation, and so I happened to get to read up on all the cooking magazines that I hadn't gotten a chance to get to. And so, you know, reading the summer grilling edition of each one of my magazines and then coming home to rain. And then you asked me to do this, so I was like, well, at least that knowledge will go towards something.
Yes, and when we originally arranged this, it was when it was really sunny out. It was like really sunny. I was like, oh, this is good. We have a nice thing. And then, the rains came, which is fine.
You can barbecue whenever. Many of people that have propane barbecues and decks, you can barbecue whenever. And I always hear people complain that, oh, I never get a chance to get out there. And if you have a propane barbecue, it's just like turning on the oven. And as long as you've got, you know, space to put it, I get out there and cook on that and see. Yeah.
So we're going to share some fun recipes this morning, Cameo is, and some tips and things. And if anyone has some recipe you'd like to share, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. I know there are a lot of people out there hoping to enjoy the eclipse too.
Yeah, and NASA has it live streaming, and they have like 50 different cameras all over, so you can kind of get on there and poke around. It's kind of interesting. I was watching it earlier. Well, it was mostly just people walking around setting things up, but it was kind of cool.
Okay.
I'm one of those kind of people that I am a big fan of barbecue or grilling pretty much anything. And I'm also that kind of person that's like, never waste the coals. And oftentimes you kind of find you get the coals going, especially on a non-propane barbecue, and you get kind of excited and get whatever you were barbecuing on there. And then by the time your food is actually done is really when those coals are kind of taken off and getting white and getting super hot. And so I like to, especially if we're just doing like hot dogs or fish or something really easy, like have a bunch of like vegetables or whole vegetables on hand, or garlic, or just anything that while you're eating and those coals are cooling off, you can kind of put on the grill and roll around and throw in the refrigerator and have for later. Peppers are one that's pretty pretty obvious. You can put whole peppers on there on the skins and just roll them around until the skins are black, and then the skins peel right off, and you can make dips, you can make salads, you can use them for sauces and stuff like that. Another cool one is whole eggplant, as you can put on the grill and until the skin chars, and it doesn't right until about the time when the skin starts to, you know, kind of burst. And then you get this really creamy, like, cooked eggplant inside that you can make dips with, or you can, you know, slice it and grill it and use it for things, too.
Do you need to poke it at all?
No, no. Poking it is actually, you want to keep it as whole as possible, because that skin is, as it cooks, starts to get a little leathery. And so it's actually holding in the holding in all the meat or the flesh, especially with eggplant, as it starts to get kind of pudding-y, like creamy. But then you add some olive oil, some salt, some pepper, and you've got delicious like baba ganoush, some sort of dip. The other one that's actually really cool to do that with too is pineapple, and you can throw a whole pineapple on the grill, just roll it around until it starts to actually kind of bubble. And then slice it, and you can use that for pineapple upside down, or you can use it in salads or salsas and stuff like that. But grilling whole vegetables just like that, then you don't have to spend so much time paying attention to them, and you can enjoy what you are actually cooking, but then you kind of use all that residual heat for something good.
And you're not spending all your time chopping and cleaning.
Exactly. I like to throw whole cloves of garlic on the grill too, and it'll sit there and roast while you're doing what you do, and everything, you know, kind of benefits from that added little char. So, but some of the other like things I was in California recently and kind of reassociated with tri-tip beef. It seems like we were in cattle country.
Tri-tip?
Tri-tip, yeah. And it's a it's a really good cut of meat. It's one that kind of doesn't get, it's not as fancy as steak, and it's not as expensive as like flank steak and stuff like that. But it's a really nice cut of beef, and you can slow barbecue it. All of which, you know, there's plenty of recipes and stuff or ways to slow cook online to look up. But, you know, you basically kind of heat up your coals. It takes a little more patience. You get them banked. And if you're using a propane one, a propane grill, getting it around 250 degrees, so not like super, super hot. But then you can kind of cook and roast larger cuts of meat. And tri-tip's really nice because it's kind of lean. It's a really muscular fiber. And it takes to a marinade really well, but you can cook it to rare on a grill, and it just cooks up really nice. And we had a lot of tri-tip in California.
Do you have a lot of marinades that you like? You make your own, I take it, or
I use. Well, you know, if I always kind of tell people, like, yes, but if it's a matter of I'm not going to do this because there's a lot of footwork into it, you know, store-bought salad dressings and stuff like that work as great marinades. But I usually, you know, use really simple, your garlic, ginger, a little bit of olive oil, some sort of acid, be it vinegar or lime juice or lemon juice. One thing to remember too, and people oftentimes feel like you want to have something sitting in marinade for more and more time, and that's going to give it more flavor, which is true for like large cuts of meat that you're going to cook for a long, long time. But things like fish or smaller cuts of meat, like pork chops and stuff like that, or beef, like steaks, you really only want them to be in a marinade for a couple of hours. And because once the acids and the salts and start to pull out moisture and the acids start to break down the muscle fiber, then a really nice cut of meat kind of ends up getting a little mushy and mealy and stuff like that. So I tend to stick to really quick marinades. I like to use dry marinades or dry rubs, which are really, really simple to throw together. There's one that we use for seasoning that's like a pretty basic, a simple season, but it's 4-3-2-1, and it's kind of one of those ones that's I wrote it down. But it's really simple. You can make a bunch of it and have it on hand. But it's 4 tablespoons of salt, 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of paprika, and 1 tablespoon of cayenne. And that just gives like a little bit of heat, a little bit of salt, and a little bit of sweetness to any kind of meat. And especially things where another mistake that people make is if they're using barbecue sauce or any kind of sauce with a lot of sugar in it, you know, marinating it in all of that and then throwing it directly onto the grill, which that's going to burn. Your sugars are going to burn far before your meat starts to cook. And so a lot of times you can take a dry rub like that, season it really good, like chicken, for example, and then get your chicken on there till it's, you know, just about done. And then you start basting on those sweet smoky barbecue sauces and stuff. And then you don't end up with that bitter char and stuff that you can get from the sugar burning.
So is that common? People put the sauce on?
I feel first? Like, you know, I feel like yes, because it seems intuitive, like the thing with the marinade, like the longer it's in there, the better flavor you're going to get. And especially things with, you know, it's barbecued chicken, so why wouldn't you grill it with the sauce on it? And a lot of people don't realize, too, a lot of pre-made sauces or, you know, prepackaged sauces have the second ingredient is sugar. And that's going to be true for a lot of things in marinades and stuff like that, just because the sugar balances out. But processed ones have a lot more sugar in them, so they're far more likely to burn. So if you, you know, kind of cook it till it's almost done and do a nice little brush on it, sometimes I will pull everything off, like if I'm doing chicken drums or something like that, I'll pull it off right before it's almost done and kind of toss it in a big bowl of the sauce and then put it back on. But kind of keeping it from burning is always optimum.
And when you are talking about grilling meat, is there anything, if say you're just grilling it, you're not going to put, you're not going to marinate it.
Yeah.
And you're just putting it on the grill. Is there anything you need to do to prep it beforehand? Do you dry it off?
Yeah, drying meat.
I think I heard that.
Drying meat is a really good, even when you're using even when you've had it marinated, or something like that, you initially want to kind of drain your marinade off, or if you're doing chicken and you're not putting anything on it or something, you certainly want to dry it off. That's going to help it, A, from sticking to your grill. It's going to get, if you've got something like chicken skin, you're going to get a little crisper skin to it, because it's just a little less moisture that the heat has to burn off of your food, basically. And one of the other things that I think is important here, and especially if you don't use a grill a lot, is maintaining and cleaning the grill. And I don't have one at home, so I oftentimes will end up using the ones at Ward Lake or at public spots, and
aren't necessarily
always clean. So if you do use the public ones, do everyone a service and clean those up. But I buy a wire brush and kind of keep that in your picnic basket, so to speak. Because the cleaning off the grill is going to be a number one for not sticking. I always often hear people, oh, it'll burn off. And it doesn't burn off. You you have a much better chance of things not sticking and also not tasting the food that was left on there by keeping those clean. And especially in this climate too, even keeping your grill gate or your grill inside, is also, you know, the outside frame of the grill can be all right, but the your grill base where you're putting your food, if you keep it inside and keep it dry and not let it get all rusty, then you have a much better chance for success.
And so a lot of people here will be grilling fish or are grilling fish. Any tips specific to fish?
Well, absolutely. A clean grill. As smaller cuts of meat or more tender cuts of meat like that, you've got to wait out the heat. You got to get it to its nice high temperatures. If you're on a propane one with a temperature gauge about 350, and then kind of with coals, you getting them. I feel like that's everybody's pitfall in barbecuing and grilling with charcoal, is it takes time. You know, you get the lighter fluid on there, you got to burn off the lighter fluid or the briquettes or whatever you're using, and they need to get hot and wet red and then start to get to that white ashy, and that's where you have the best like cooking flame. And it takes a very long time to be patient in that aspect. And sometimes here it's a little windy and you don't know if it's going to rain, and so but for fish, you got to make sure that heat is there so that you don't get it doesn't stick to the grill.
So I imagine if you put something on too early, I don't know if you call it slow cooking, but it's not quite even cooking.
Yeah,
right,
it's not going to evenly cook, and it is going to
stick.
When you're the whole with that heat there, and when the flesh makes contact with the metal, if it's not hot enough, then it just kind of sits on there and cooks to it. And if the metal is hot enough, then it instantly kind of cooks off that moisture that's on there and creates a seal. And then that's where you get it to not stick. And it's also where you get more moist proteins, because you've created a seal really quickly. That sear is there. And then you are going to save yourself some flavor on the inside of your food. And you know, a lot of times with fish, especially in public grills, or if you don't feel super super confident with flipping it and things like that, and fish can go south real quickly if the skin gets stuck on there and stuff like that. And I am a huge fan of aluminum foil. Like, you putting out a fillet of any sort of fish and just some herbs and butter and what have you, and very little, and kind of enveloping it in aluminum foil and then sticking it right on the grill and kind of slow poaching it that way. And you can use aluminum foil to cook potatoes on the grill. You can throw veggies on there. It's a really nice way to kind of steam stuff inside a grill. So
on a lot of the public grills, there's quite a distance in a sense from where the coals are to where the grate is or whatever that you're laying the food on. Any tips on having the right distance?
And that one's hard too. If you're not making, you know, 15 hamburgers and you want to use half a bag of charcoal, if you're using a small amount of charcoal, you can use cardboard and whatnot to kind of section it off a little bit so that maybe you're only using half the grill and half the amount of coals. Or, I think some of them have a little bit of an adjustment, and some of that is just, you know, you're taking – there's no real way to cover it. So in those cases, you know, you kind of stick with hot dogs and like things that are a little easier to heat up than say maybe cook, especially if you're doing small amounts.
Do you have any thoughts about side dishes?
The biggest ones that I like to think about are with grilling. If you're in a, you're getting a lot of that char, you're getting a tiny little bitterness in there from you know, the meat in contact with the flame and stuff like that. So for side dishes, things that are kind of have like a little bit more acid to them, you want some bolder flavors. I love a good like macaroni salad and potato salad, don't get me wrong, but things that are a little bit less fat contact, like a really good coleslaw or you know, a salad with a really tart like vinegary vinaigrette or even Dijon vinaigrette or something is going to really kind of bring out the flavors in the meats that you're cooking and also kind of cut through some of the, any of the bitterness. And they just have a really good juxtaposition of flavor. Sounding super fancy pants, but, and then of course, like any kind of roasted vegetables that you can get in that you can manage to squeeze onto the grill is always going to complement things.
Okay, and if anyone out there listening, if you have some tips, suggestions, or questions, you can give us a call here, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723.
Give me a call. well, there was one thing that I was looking at. Oh, one of the things that I see around the interweb sometimes that becomes kind of trendy during barbecue season, and I often forget about it, but is a cool idea, is like, don't forget the bread, like grilling, like grabbing like some prepackaged pita or even like cornbread that you're doing, or tortillas and stuff like that, giving them, you know, kind of warming them up on there, just like your hot dog buns, which never stay together and you always end up with two pieces in a hot dog, which drives me crazy. But yeah, using things like cornbread and kind of throwing them on there and grilling them real quick gives you a little bit more flavor profile in there. And I've been reading a little bit about grilled pizza, and it looks really fun. I have not done it yet. So anybody out there who's done a grilled pizza, let me know how that works out.
Do you use a pizza stone? Or?
Well, the recipes that I've seen use a pizza crust dough, and you kind of do it a little bit thicker than you would maybe an oven pizza, and it goes right onto the grill. And then sits, and then after you flip, that's when you can add, you add your toppings and stuff like that. And you know, the internet makes everything look super super easy, so I could imagine some of the failures in that one too, but it's another fun thing to kind of do, making flatbreads on your grill. But
I have some other ideas of things that maybe you don't think about. Definitely something you don't think of, making bread on the grill.
Exactly. And, you know, some of the other ones that you always see, you can throw, you know, corn in the husk is probably the best way to grill it. I see a lot of people want to husk it or wrap it in tin foil, but if you've got it, it's still kind of nice and tightly in the husk, and you just roll it around until that all of that stuff is blackening and charring off, and then it's going to steam right in on itself. So,
and I heard it's easier to get
the little fluttery things off. Yeah, it kind of comes off a little bit easier because it's not the starches have now kind of been broken down as they're cooking, and the starch is that sticky part that kind of keeps it onto the corn. So, yeah, it's going to come away a lot easier. One of my favorite ways to eat grilled corn is the Mexican street style elotes, and it's basically just a grilled corn. You squeeze like lemon juice over the top, a little bit of butter over the top, sprinkle either a mixture of paprika and chili powder or like Mexican hot sauce, and then they usually slather it with mayonnaise, but sour cream also works. And then any kind of hard cheese, like if you can, I think queso fresco, you can find queso fresco around town, or I've even used feta cheese in the past. but it's pretty phenomenal. You have the heat, you have the cheese, you have the yummy corn, and anytime I run into that on the streets of Mexico, I will be eating it. So it's fun to do here too.
Right. Any other thoughts that you have?
No, I've noticed, well, now that we kind of have a resurgence or a new surgence of oyster farms in the area, a lot of people doing grilled oysters, which is, I'm a raw oyster fan, overcooked oysters fan, but, people asking how to do that. And with that one, you just, you know, you want to make sure your oysters are clean, pretty dry, mostly because you don't want to lose the heat on your grill. If you throw a bunch of wet oysters on there, make sure they're clean. And then, on a nice, you know, 350 degree or nice banked coals kind of grill, you just lay out your oysters with their top side up and then kind of close that up. And as soon as the oyster shells pop, then your oysters are done. And sometimes it's nice to brush them with barbecue sauce. When I worked at Frontera in Chicago, we did one where it was an equal parts of canned chipotles and honey. And that's a really nice, super easy. We just blend the chipotles and the honey together in the blender and then brush it on there. And it's super smoky and kind of sweet and hot and works really nice with oysters.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get some sun out there.
Okay. If the clouds part really soon, yeah, we can see the eclipse there. They are having the eclipse viewing party at the library,
yeah,
by the way. So they do have the NASA feed that they're showing there and have some activities going mm-hmm. on, I believe. So, yeah.
And maybe we'll have some clear, crisp days in like September and October.
Exactly.
And you can head up. Grill pumpkins and squashes and things like that.
Yeah, we do have a couple of holidays coming up and maybe some days where folks can get out there one last time.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, thank you. Thanks for coming in, Cameo.
Yeah, no problem.
And lots of good hints and advice. And we'll just look for some good weather.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much. Cameo McRoberts with some suggestions for your barbecuing.